All right, just to recap, really what took place in Perek Aleph of the Tanya, aside from all of our digressions and additions, is Bala Tanya began really with the Gemara Masechtas Brachos, the Samach Aleph and Aleph, which tells us that there are five categories of individuals. There's the Tzadik V'Toivloi, the Tzadik V'Raloi, the Rasha V'Toivloi, the Rasha V'Raloi, and the Beinoni. And he quoted from the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Mishpatim, which explained that this, we typically interpret that, or understand that the Tzadik V'Ralo refers to a person who's righteous, but, negative things happen to him. And Tzadik V'Tovlo is a righteous person who has, who's fortunate to have good things that happen to him. And the Rasha, also Rasha V'Tovlo is really an evil person, but he enjoys this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, enables him to succeed. And then you have the Rosh HaRaloi, which is the evil person who HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow, for whatever reason, punishes in this world. And the Beinoni is somewhere in the middle. However, the Zohar HaKadosh explains that this really refers all to the internal struggles, or what's the internal dynamic that's taking place inside of the individual. The Tzadik V'Tovloi is a person who has entirely eradicated his Yetzer Hara to the degree that his Yetzer Hara, his negative tendencies, he's channeled towards good, which we elaborated upon in the past. He's taken that desire to do Averos, and he's taken that same energy, that same enthusiasm, same excitement, but channeled it towards mitzvahs. He's capitalized upon that and helped it, use it as a catalyst for good. The Tzadik V'Raloi is a Tzadik who has a Yetzer Hara, not that he ever gives into it, Chas V'Shalom, it's not even really something that's really on the radar, but he hasn't risen to the level that he's been able to channel that negative tendency towards good. He's eradicated, it's for whatever reason been erased from really what's taking place inside of him, but it's not something that he's been able to be kovish to the degree that he's used it as a power for good. And the Rasha also is the Rasha of a Tovlo. It means he at least has a Yetzer HaTov that is pulling him in one direction. But a Rasha of a Ralo means he's even taken the Yetzer HaTov, that desire for spirituality, and used it for negativity. The Beinoni refers to a person who really has both, kind of a Yetzer HaTov and a Yetzer Hara, not a person who, as we sometimes interpret it, or it's classically interpreted, when we're discussing with school children, or maybe even some people beyond that, that it refers to a person who has half mitzvos, half averos, kind of a linear binary equation. Is it this or that? And one could tip it in one direction or the other, even though, of course, there's multiple levels of truth here. But it doesn't refer so much to a person's actions, and this is the first Kiddush of the Baal HaTanya, the Baal Shem Tov, is that this doesn't relate to a person's actions. A Beinoni, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, is mechza averos, mechza mitzvos, or as the Rambam describes it and depicts it in Hilchos Tshuva, a person is half mitzvahs, half averos, and one avero mitzvah can tip the scales in one direction or the other. It really doesn't refer to a person's actions, claims the Baal Shem Tov. It refers to that which is, at least on one level of interpretation, it refers to the struggle that's taking place inside of the individual. The tzaddik is a person who doesn't even get pulled towards the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes he might even have conquered it to the degree that it's pulling him, the Yetzer Hara is pulling him for good. The Rosh is a person who really doesn't even, either he doesn't have a Yetzer Hara Toiv anymore, or the Yetzer Hara Toiv has been pulling him towards bad. The Beinoni is a person who both of these elements exist, both the Yetzer Hara Toiv and the Yetzer Hara, and he struggles. He doesn't give in. If he gives in, he's a Rasha. The minute a person does one Avera, the Baal HaTanya is very clear, he's a Rasha. Even if it's just an Avera the Rabbanan, even if it's just Bittul Torah, you're already a Rasha. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing not actions, but the internal struggle that takes place within a person. The Beinoni is the one who gets pulled sometimes in different directions. There's a tug of war taking place. That's why the Gemara says over there in Brachos, Rabbah says, I feel like I'm a Beinoni. And Abaye was like, surprised, if you're a Beinoni, what are we? Right? So, but what he means is, I'm a Beinoni, is that he feels this internal struggle, sometimes pulling him towards the Yetzer HaTov, sometimes pulling him towards the Yetzer Hara. But then the Baal HaTanya explains this dynamic of the Beinoni a little bit further. What is this internal struggle that's taking place? And he quotes there from Reb Chaim Vital in the Shaarei Kedusha, a fundamental yesod, which is that each person is endowed with two neshamas. It's not even, as we classically would interpret it, a Yetzer HaTov and a Yetzer Hara, all within one neshama. This is the Kiddush of Reb Chaim Vital. It's nothing to do with the Baal Shem Tov or the Baal HaTanya, that there are really two neshamas that are inside of us. And that's what he goes on to explain, and that's what takes us further at the end of Perek Aleph, towards the beginning of Perek Beis. So at the end of Perek Aleph, he explains one side of the coin. At the beginning of Perek Beis, he begins with the other side of the coin. So at the end of Perek Aleph, he explains that there is embedded within a person what he calls the physical neshama, or the physical nefesh. You want to call it the nefesh ha-bahamas, the animalistic tendencies, but it's really much more expansive than that, because he really outlines there's three parts to this. One part is, you know, our need to eat, sleep, and drink, all physical activities. That's part of the nefesh ha-bahamas, that we need to do things that are similar to the animal kingdom. But then he goes on to say that all of our negative character traits come from this nefesh ha-bahamas, but even our positive character traits, gar rachmanim, baishanim, goyim lechasadim, these are physical qualities that we feel, compassion and mercy and love and hate. All of this comes from the nefesh ha-bahamas, meaning this physical quality, which has positive aspects and negative aspects. And when did that begin? When Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, that's what's referred to as Eitz Hadas, toivara, that it expanded his perspective because it endowed him with this nefesh of nefesh ha-bahamas, of physical existence, which could have positive aspects to it and negative aspects to it. It could be rachmanim v'ashanim goyim lechasadim, or it could be a balkas and a balgaiva. All of these things come from that same source, which is a physical existence. That's what a nefesh ha-bahamas means. We have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to drink. But that all is our physical component, our existence, and has positive and negative qualities and can be viewed in one way or the other. We call that, he says, the sitra akra, the other side of the coin, the dark side, if you're like into that kind of stuff, Star Wars, the dark side, or the klipa, the shell. Why? Because it covers over, it conceals the other part of ourselves. Not the physical component, not the physical side, which again has positive and negative qualities, but there's a deeper part to ourself, which is what he refers to over here, based on the pasuk in Sefer Iyov, and he quotes here from many Sifrei Kabbalah, refers to as the Chelek Elokam Imal, the part of us which is divine, our spiritual existence, and that's unique to human beings. That's not a nefesh ha-bahamas that's shared with the animal kingdom. That's unique to human beings, that we have a spiritual component to, or if you will, you're more rationalistic, or like the Rambam, a intellectual component to ourselves. And that's housed behind the klipa, our physical existence. Of course, our avodah is to take our physical activities and make them spiritual, right? Make them intellectual, to take our eating and elevate it, to take our sleeping and use it to serve Hashem. And that then removes the shell and elevates our physical existence to become a spiritual one. But there is this this dichotomy, this tug of war between the nefesh ha-bahamas and what he calls the chelek elokam imal. So here's a chiddush of the Baal HaTanya, as he uses one word, but it's significant, as he calls it the chelek elokam imal mamish, meaning it's literally a part of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not a mashal, it's not figurative. There's literally a piece of the Ribbono Shel Olam inside of each one of us, as opposed to the animals of the world. And he claims that that's why animals of the world were created through the dibor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's speech, which has like a physical or audible aspect to it, as opposed to Adam HaRishon, which was created through Vayipach Ba'apav Ruach Nishmas Chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed life into Adam HaRishon. That refers not to the physical component of his existence that came when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, Tevara, but that was his initial existence was entirely spiritual before he ate from the Eitz Hadas, based upon Vayipach Ba'af of Ruach Nishmas Chaim. He blew into him existence, which was, as the Baal HaTanya explains, part of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he blew, that's what we say, Okana Neshama Shenasata Bi Tahirahi. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave us our neshama, our purely intellectual, spiritual existence, that was entirely pure, that's untainted with any kind of physical existence, neither character traits that are positive or negative, or any need to, you know, live in the physical world. It's entirely intellectual, entirely spiritual, and just in terms of connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what the Chelek Elokam Imal refers to. What does it mean, practically? What does it mean? We have an intellectual, spiritual component. So he quotes there from a Rambam, an entirely different context. The Baal HaTanya brings this Rambam. And if you don't really know the Rambam, you don't appreciate what he's saying. But the Rambam there asks the classical dilemma that we should him struggle with, which is, how could it be a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Bechira if a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, is omniscient, he knows what we're going to choose, how then do we really have the right to choose in the first place? Right? How can we choose if Hashem knows what the outcome will be? So the Ravid therefore says, No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu limited himself, and he did this to himself to give us free choice. He limited his knowledge of our choices in order to endow us with Bechira Chavshis. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself imposed that limitation on himself, and therefore it's not limiting in any way the abilities of Hashem because it's self-imposed. The Rambam gives a different answer, which the Ravid is not happy with, and the Ravid actually criticizes him. He said, why are you asking kashas if you have no terutzim? Because he didn't appreciate really what the Rambam answered. But the Rambam says, because our knowledge is not the same as Hashem's knowledge. Hashem's knowledge is one and the same with his existence. We exist, and then we can know things. We can acquire knowledge. But that's like kind of superimposed. It's separate from ourselves. We exist, and then we acquire knowledge. Hashem and his knowledge are one and the same. How does that solve the dilemma? So later, Achronim explain that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't live within a timeline. See, we assume our decisions, we were undecided, then we decided. So there was a previous stage and then a subsequent stage. Kadosh Baruch Hu is above all of that. He is one with knowledge, one with time. So it doesn't violate our Bechira Chavshis, the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're going to choose any more than a guy who has a video of a football game, that doesn't impact the outcome of the football game because you have a video of the game taking place. So Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're going to choose, but it doesn't impact our decision because he's above and beyond our timeline. But all of that means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is one and the same with his knowledge. That's what the Rambam explains. So therefore, the Baal Tanya suggests when Hashem gave us intellect, he gave us spirituality, what he did was he took the Chelek HaLakami Mal Mamish. What that means is he gave us ability to reason, to think, to have feel spirituality that is all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's part of Hashem because Hashem is one with his knowledge. It's not like he teaches us something. If I teach you something, this is not part of me. It's a piece of knowledge I acquired. I'm passing on to you. When we have the ability to have intellect, to reason, to think, to argue, to all of this, that all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he is one and the same with his knowledge. They're not two separate things. They're one and the same. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into us intellect and reason and spirituality, that itself is part of the Ribono Shel Olam. And I think what comes out of this is something tremendous, which is really important for us, certainly as we begin this month. Because what this means is our intellect, right? Our ability to reason, our spiritual selves is holy. It comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. So that's why the Gemara says in a few places, most notably in Brachos and Daf Lamed Vav, the Gemara says, how do we know that you have to make Birchas Hananin, to make a bracha before you eat something? So Gemara says, it's a svara. Right? Everything belongs to Hashem, so you have to ask permission before you take it. But the Gemara in numerous places, where Bekiva Eger collects it in Brachos Daf Lamed Vav, numerous times the Gemara says, why do I need a pasuk to teach me, Hamotzi Mechavelo Varaya, you want to take money from my pocket, you better prove that it's yours. The Gemara learns that out from the pasuk. The Gemara says, why do I need a pasuk, a svara who? So, meaning a svara is a din d'oraisa. If something is compelling, it makes sense to us, that's a din d'oraisa. The Gemara is, why do I need a pasuk? It's a svara. Our intellect is a din d'oraisa. Why? Because our intellect was given to us by the Ribono Shel Olam. It's a chelok, elokami mal, mamish, as the Baal HaTanya said. So that means our intellect, our reason, itself is part of the Ribono Shel Olam, which is what is so important about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and particularly learning Gemara. Why is Talmud Torah so important? Because it's obviously a mitzvah, the greatest of all mitzvahs, Talmud Torah, can I get kulam? It gives us the ability to perform mitzvahs, ein bur yirei chet, right? If a person doesn't know how to perform the mitzvahs, he can't perform the, he doesn't have to know how to do it, he certainly can't do it properly and fulfill his obligations. So Talmud Torah has a lot of practical side to it. It itself, independently, is a mitzvah. But you can fulfill Talmud Torah in lots of different ways. You can learn Tanakh, you could read Hilchot Shabbos, Kitzur Sefer. Why do we spend our time learning Gemara and learning it bi'iyun? Many times we're learning Chulin, right? Some of the things, I try hard to make it L'maisa, but a lot of it's not L'maisa. So what are we doing? Why are we so involved in this? And why do yeshivas focus to almost exclusively on Leva Torah bi'iyun? Despite the fact that Daf Yomi is, right, there's surging in popularity right now. But why? Why do we? It almost seems to the outsider to be like, what are you guys doing? Aren't you missing the boat? Why don't you focus on halakha l'maaseh? Why are we wasting our time on this? And I believe that the answer is, the more a person involves his intellect in his learning, the more that he's tapping into that chelek elokami mal. And even if it's not practical, that itself allows me to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam more. See, if it's practical, then I need it as a means to fulfill the other mitzvahs, then it has certain spiritual component to it because it helps me perform the other mitzvahs, but it's really kind of pragmatic. When a person learns Torah B'Iyun and he uses his capabilities of creativity, of intellectual connecting one thing to another and really questioning, why is this so? Why does it have to be so? How did you derive one from the other? We're not only participating in an intellectual exercise. That intellectual activity of learning Torah is how we connect to that chelak elokami ma'al, which is that intellectual spiritual component of ourselves. And that's why limud haTorah, and specifically limud haTorah be'iyun, maybe even in those areas that are not practical, itself is a way a person can connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam even more. And I was just in Eretz Yisrael, one issue that many of the Rabbanim I was with, on the Yachid Kala, really fantastic, with a group of Rabbanim, many of you whom you know. So one of the issues we're struggling with as a group, and that's one of the most beneficial parts of this trip, is not just who the people we meet, which are all, very great Gedolim, but is the group gets to talk amongst ourselves, even though I see a lot of these people all the time, we rarely have a chance to talk. But one of the issues everyone's struggling with is, this generation seems to be, more than I think when I was growing up, kind of learning Be'ilim doesn't really do it for them. They're looking for other things, whether it gets translated into learning Tanya, which is why we're learning Tanya, or whether it's going to Uman, or whatever it is, or connect to Hashem through Tefillah, which of course is critical. But what is it that's missing in the traditional shiur and learning Be'ilim that is just not doing it, just not inspiring the young people of today? And what came out is that people don't really understand, how is this connecting me to Hashem? Like, we're learning, but where's God? Where's God in all of this Taisvis and Marams, and we're going to discuss today, Rabbi Chanan and Kavish Yirum? Where's God in all this? How am I connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam by doing this? And I think that what's been lost is we're not framing the conversation properly. Is that when we use our intellect, specifically in the area which was given to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam of Torah Shebaal Peh, and even more so Torah Shebaal Peh than Torah Shebesav, as the Gemara says in Gittin, well, Karati Chabris in Yisrael El Bishvil Dvarim Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is where our main relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam exists. Why? The answer, not only because the Bible is found in every nightstand throughout the United States, but so it's not unique to us. Torah Shebaal Peh is unique to the Jewish people, but even more than that, it requires intellectual involvement, which is how we tap into that Chelak Elokami Ma'al, and therefore by learning, if we have intention to perform the mitzvahs, by doing so, we're really connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam through the activity itself. And we should have that perspective as we learn Be'iyun. It's not just an intellectual, activity, which we might do throughout the day, but it's tapping into that Chelak Elokami Ma'al Mamish, which enables us to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay.